Surveyors from the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health have been fanning out around the state this summer, talking with people and actually seeking some 1,150 people. And maybe to prod, Jim Packard says to prod and poke and pinch, the way he puts it, a lot of us to take a look at the his physical exam to kind of take a look at the health of the state. Want to talk about, we haven't talked about it on the show yet, and some of you may have participated in this project already, taking a look at the health of Wisconsin with Dr. Our guest today, Dr. Javier Nieto, who is survey director of the survey of the health of Wisconsin, also chairs the population health sciences at the University of Wisconsin Medical School. And Kathy Massoff is a program manager for the Survey of the Health of Wisconsin. So we're really pleased to have them both with us today. And I certainly hope you'll join in with your questions and comments. And if you participated, we'd love to hear about that, too. So give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 or in the email area, call it, email us at talk@wpr.org. Dr. Nieto, thank you so much for being with us today.
Appreciate it very much.
And Kathy Massoff, thank you so much.
Thank you, Larry, for inviting us.
Really pleased to have you with us today. What's this project intended to do?
This is a new project of the School of Medicine and Public Health. The intention is to obtain data on the health and the health needs and the healthcare needs of the population of the state on an ongoing basis. The program is going to be to establish a survey, an annual survey, so that we can monitor how things evolve and change over time. The goal is to provide the necessary information to public health officials and public health and authorities and healthcare professionals to come up with new ways to or find new ways to improve the health of the populations, and with the ultimate goal of making Wisconsin the healthiest state in the nation.
That's great. Well, and this is the Kathy. This is the first survey by any state, I think, is it not, in the union?
That is correct. New York City has done it, and California has considered it, but we're the first one to actually initiate one.
And now, how long has the survey been going on? We started
in the middle of June.
Of this year. And how do you select people to participate in this survey?
We select a random sample of the residents in the state. We went the first select randomly 120 communities in the state, census block groups, and in each of these communities we select 12 households. We send them information on the mail and then approach those households, knock at the door, and invite the participants, the residents in the household, to participate in the survey.
And what kinds of questions do you ask of those people? And maybe, Kathy, you can talk about that a little bit.
It's a very broad survey. It's looking at everything from demographics, including people's education levels, their ancestry, because we know that, of course, can affect the kinds of health issues that develop in people. We look at occupations, the kind of work they've done in their lifetime. We look at their physical activity levels. We ask them, you know, about exercise. We go on to health histories, some of them very general, and then we get into some more personal health histories. We look at at women. We look at reproductive health. We look at their diet. We look at many mental health stress-related issues. Life is pretty stressful these days, and
right.
It's thought to be a major impact on the health status of people around the country. And our survey has a very large component of these stress-related questionnaires.
It's I know one of the other factors, if I'm not mistaken, is our environmental factors. Looking at environmental factors and what they might role that they might play, how is that going to be done?
Well, that will be done in different ways. One is because we'll know the location of these households, we'll be able to link the physical location of the household to environmental data already obtained by DNR or the Department of Public Health on quality of the air, water quality, et cetera, et cetera. We're also going to be looking at environmental factors in the community, not just the physical environment, but also the social environment, proximity to parks and places where people can be physically active, proximity to stores. We are going to be doing surveys of the stores, grocery stores or convenience stores, looking at the quality of the their foods, the availability and pricing of healthy foods versus so-called junk food, et cetera, et cetera. So that we can look at how people, how those environments shape individuals' choices on dietary patterns, for example.
And we're gonna. I want to give our listeners a chance to join in. We'll get to Paul here in New Berlin in just a second, but you can join in too at 1-800-642-1234, or in email terms, email us at talk@wpr.org. And let's go to Paul in New Berlin. Paul, hi. Thank you for calling.
Good morning. Thank you. It's a great mission that you're embarking on here, and I'm wondering how you're going to incorporate the concepts of integrated medicine into this process. And you're addressing that, obviously, the environmental and the nutritional components and the lifestyles and the various higher technologies that medicine, the educational system is promoting for addressing some of the diseases that we've contracted from not living in a healthy way. But as far as promoting in the medicine schools in Wisconsin the approach to integrated medicine, what do you hope to accomplish so that people can identify within patients their belief systems and their needs so that there will be a linking up of their ailments and the healthcare modalities that are available in the community? So bringing those all together to have effective lifestyle changes and optimal health for individuals in Wisconsin, I think is a comprehensive approach that I think you're embarking on. I'd like you, if you could comment on that, please.
Sure.
Thanks for the comment. And I hope I understood it correctly. But we believe very strongly that health is determined by a huge variety of factors. And even though I'm a physician by training and I'm a faculty in the School of Medicine and Public Health, I understand the importance of medicine, but medicine is only one of the components that affects medicine and healthcare in general. It's just one of the components that affects people's health. As you said, there is we have to approach the understanding of the determinants of health in a more integrated and comprehensive fashion, and the same thing for if we want to improve the health of the population, we need to engage with many other professionals in addition to physicians and of course nurses, veterinary medicine professionals, but also economists, lawyers, politicians, environmentalists. They all have a role to play, and one of the purposes of this survey is to gather this broad range of data to pinpoint to possible ways to do a more integrative public health intervention.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Yeah, that is the main concern. And are you identifying for the media, hopefully the media can help educate the public regarding the interconnectedness of their lifestyles and various their emotional and the nutritional, all these various components of what it is to be a human, how it all works together to be healthy. So are you going to help take this information and then have a campaign to try to create a greater awareness of what...
Yeah, we are. And in fact, that's exactly what we are doing right now. And we'd like to continue doing that. We have a member of our staff. Her name is Phoebe Frenette, and he's the community relations coordinator. And one of her jobs is to... as we approach each of these communities, to contact with the media, local media outlets, and to make the survey known in the community and to engage the community in discussions about these topics. And in the long run, as we gather more data in the years, in a few years, we'll have enough information to continue doing more public awareness campaigns and engage health professionals and public health professionals in these discussions as well.
How many communities, by the way, roughly how many communities? Kathy, do you know how many were?
Well, in 2008, we are visiting about 60 communities. We've been out there 12 weeks now, and we've already done a wide variety. We've been up in Wisconsin Rapids. We've been in several areas in Milwaukee and Dane County. We've been down to Lafayette. We've been up to Eau Claire, Chippewa, Bloomer, Lake Geneva, Germantown, Manitowoc, Two Rivers, and we've got at least that many more to go before the end of this year.
So you're getting out there.
Right. Right now we're in Waupun, Horicon, and Mayville. We were in Green Bay and De Pere last week, and Wauwatosa and West Allis this week. So
West Allis, Wauwatosa.
Here we are.
Get ready. Here they come. We're talking about the health of Wisconsin today and this wonderful statewide survey that's being done to take a look at our health. And our two guests, Dr. Javier Nieto, director of the Survey of the Health of Wisconsin, and chairs the Population Health Sciences at the UW Medical School, and Kathy Massoth, Program Manager for the Survey of the Health of Wisconsin, our guests here on the Ideas Network. We're taking a look at the health of Wisconsin. How healthy are our Wisconsin residents, you and I? Well, I tell you what, there are some surveyors from the UW School of Medicine and Public Health who have been fanning out around the state this summer. It's the first survey by any state in the union, and it's kind of modeled after a national survey that was used by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, something that they've been doing for about the last 50 years, if I'm not mistaken. Learning about that survey today and your participation in it, if you have participated, we'd love to hear from you. If you haven't, I have some questions about it. I certainly hope you'll join in. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234, and you can email us at talk@wpr.org. Our guests today, Dr. Javier Nieto, who is Survey Director of the Survey of the Health of Wisconsin and chairs the Population and Health Sciences at the UW Medical School. Kathy Massoth, our other guest, is Program Manager for the Survey of the Health of Wisconsin. If you'd like to join in, the number to call again, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at talk@wpr.org. Give us a call with your questions and comments. And since we have somebody online, I think we might just go right to the phones here and talk to Alice in Shawano. Alice, hi. Thanks for calling.
Well, and thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to ask, I don't know if I heard that or not, if the survey is going to be asking people if they're covered by medical insurance or not, because that has such an impact on health also.
Yes. We have a whole component in the survey about access to healthcare and utilization of healthcare. We have detailed questions about their health insurance and their and barriers individuals may have had in access to healthcare, not only healthcare, general healthcare, but also dental care and mental healthcare. Yeah, that's an important component of the survey.
Well, thank you. Sounds like you're doing a great thing.
Thank you very much for calling, Alice. Appreciate it. And Bill in Oshkosh, I guess we'll give you a chance now. Hi, Bill.
Hi. The reason I'm calling is that from my teaching experience and other experience, it seems that there are quite a few people in the population that have some form of learning disability or other. Some people cope, but I think an awful lot of people fall out of the educational system if they don't have other supports in family, you know, to help them correct this. And I was wondering if you were collecting information on this.
That's a good question, too.
Kathy, you want to address that?
The learning disabilities is not a direct question in the survey at the present time. we do ask about a very, very generalized health history, and there are some places in that where someone might be able to give us some background on a problem that's been diagnosed. At this point in the survey, it is not a key component.
Let me just add, we do have one question, actually a little test on what we call health literacy, how to assess how people understands, to what level people can understand, say, physicians or pharmacists' instructions. We give them like a little quiz. Mm-hmm. So it's somewhat related to what you're saying, but no, as Kathy said, we don't have at this point a component specifically addressing the learning disability problem. But one thing about this survey is that because of its annual nature, we're going to be doing this survey every year, and we are hoping that we'll have a core component that will stay the same from year to year, so we can then look at how things change over time, as I said before. But every year, we can add components or questions that were not asked the year before, and maybe keep those questions for a few years until we have enough data on that component for the population, and then move on to other surveys, to other types of questions. Of course, we could ask, you know, it's an infinite number of issues we could ask about, and we want to respect also the individual's time. We cannot just.
Yeah, I'm wondering now, let's go back to this process of interviewing, and that's a good question, though, Bill. Let's say when you come, let's say you were going to interview me. If you came to interview me in my home, well, I've got a wife and child at home, but you're really asking about my health, or are you asking about the family health?
We ask the questions of each eligible adult in the household right now.
Okay.
Right now, the survey covers 21 to 74-year-olds.
Okay.
We certainly hope that we're going to get future funding to broaden that and include children and the more elderly. Mm-hmm. But at the present time, it would be eligible adults, people who actually reside in that household.
But I would suspect that something like a learning disability, it's possible that that could come up. If you're asking me about my own health and, you know, what I've mm-hmm. had over time, you know, sort of a little bit of a history of my health, I might say, well, I had a learning disability, so I had a lot of trouble in school.
Mm-hmm.
That could come up.
That's mm-hmm. right. It very well could come up in our general history questionnaires.
Yeah.
And, you know, it might be a good point to talk about who's going to use the data and how that process, because that in turn affects what gets put in the survey in the future is the applications from researchers around the state and possibly the country to utilize our data.
Yeah. So, Dr. Nieto, you want to talk about that a bit?
Well, we'll conduct, as we collect the data, we'll be conducting analysis of the descriptive analysis of the data and looking at the relationship between environmental factors or behaviors and the outcomes we observed. And we'll produce reports that will be made available to, again, as I said before, to public health officials and health providers in the state. But we also will make the data available to researchers across the state who we could make justified requests to access the data and for their own purposes, and that will include both public and private users. That say, for example, healthcare providers that want to understand better the health profiles of their communities where they serve. And also will be available for researchers or communities that want to add specific components to the survey to address, say, learning disabilities in a certain community, if that's what the population wants to, or the health professionals in the population want to find out because they want to establish some kind of a program, educational or whatever. They will approach us and try to establish a contract for us to add that information to the survey in that community when the whole state. Of course, funding will be, we will need to obtain funding for this addition of additional components.
And, you know, and we have to probably stress, and I feel pretty sure about bringing this up, that the surveys themselves are totally confidential. No one has ever connected with some single individual. I wouldn't think Kathy would be.
That's right. We've got everything is coded by a participant number, and then all of the identifiers like the name, the address, the age, the birth dates, any of those are all separated into a separate database that is very limited access, only so that we can recontact them in our follow-up years. But the data that's going to be used by researchers is basically what we call de-identified. It only has this code number on it. And all of that, even both databases, those with the identifiers and those without, are protected behind firewalls. We've got all of these, the latest technology to protect the data as much as we can. Our teams are professionally trained so that confidentiality is just sort of ingrained in them at this point. And we're very confident that we've got the latest technology to be able to provide as much confidentiality as we can. We also have a certificate of confidentiality from the federal government to protect our data so that no federal agency can come in and
take a look
at what we collected. There was some concern that immigrants might feel hesitant, feeling that the Immigration Service could come in and look at our data. And we're protected from that.
And, you know, that may be a reason why some people might resist being interviewed. Have you run into some reluctance on the part of people? And if so, was that issue or other issues that might have affected?
Yes. I mean, we've only been in the field about 12 weeks, as I said, but we have encountered the most common reason being there's a lot of concern out there over identity theft and privacy of people's data. And it's very natural. People are also surveyed a lot by marketers. They've read the stories in the newspapers about, databases that have somebody left a computer somewhere or left a disk somewhere with names on it. So there's a legitimate reason for concern. We really talk with people a lot about what we're doing to try and assure that that's not going to happen with SHOWS data.
And I want to get back. Todd, I'll get to you in just a second. But just to comment on one other point relating to this, when we're doing a random or representative sample, it is very important to get everybody in that sample to participate in order for your data to be valuable.
That's right. We can't, if a household turns us down, we can't go next door and take their neighbor. It's very important to do it this way in order for the data to truly be representative of Wisconsin. It's the hardest kind of methodology to apply in a survey, as you know, Larry, because we were talking about that earlier. But it is the one that's going to give us the strongest data about Wisconsin. And we really try to urge people to at least give our recruiters a chance to hear about the study and hear about its value to them.
Let's go to Todd in Mineral Point, and then we'll get to Gene. Todd, hi.
Hi, how's it going?
Good.
Good. I'm kind of coming up to speed here, unless you answered a little bit of my question. But my main question was, who's funding this?
Mm-hmm.
And the second part was the major uses of the survey.
Okay.
Thanks, Todd, for the question. This is funded by the Wisconsin Partnership Program, which is an endowment that the School of Medicine and Public Health got through the conversion of the Blue Cross Blue Shield of Wisconsin. You may remember this. It was in the news for some years until 2003. The school received this money with the mandate of developing programs to improve the health of the population of the state. And this is one of the many programs this Wisconsin Partnership program is funding. There's a number of community academic partnerships, community organizations, health organizations who are partnering with faculty and staff in the School of Medicine and Public Health to develop community health initiatives, etc. This is going to be tremendous boost to the state and the health of the state for decades to come. This is a endowment, as I said, is money that is not supposed to be spent in building buildings and paying development in the university, but rather creating useful programs for the health of the state. And again, the survey is part of that program. It's trying to its mission is create the data that will be used then to try to improve the health of the population. And that, going back to your second question, that's, as we said before, again, this will be data will be available for researchers across the state to examine whatever questions they need to come up with new ways to improve the health of the public.
All right.
Excellent.
Thanks, Todd. Thank you. Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Jean and Grand Chute, it's your turn. Hi, Jean.
Yeah, hi. I'm a member of the Women's Health Initiative Survey. Have been doing that for many, many years. I'm wondering if you're coordinating it with that. Originally, we went down and had tests and established a base, and there were two or three different groups in it, and then we get a yearly survey to fill out.
Oh.
Yes, thanks for the question. I'm very aware of the Women's Health Initiative. It was run out of our department, precisely. It's a national survey of the health of women, and there were some components that looking at the effect of estrogens and calcium supplements, etc., that have become prominent in the press in the recent years, as you all know. No, but we are not coordinating with this program specifically. It's just a separate survey, and this is focusing on the entire population, not just women, and we are addressing just a broader variety of questions than the Women's Health Initiative. I mean, I'm not saying it's a very valuable study, but it's just a different. There are many other population studies ongoing in the state. There's the Beaver Dam cohort study that's been going on since the mid 80s. There's the Wisconsin sleep cohort study. There are many, many other initiatives out there in the state. Our survey is different to all of those in that we are trying to get a representative sample of the entire population of the residents of the state, which is not the goal of these other studies.
Okay. Thanks again, Gene, for calling. And Anita in Bonduelle is up next. Anita, hi to you.
Hello, Larry. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm not exactly sure if I'll phrase this right, but I'm wondering how they accounted for, say, income differences. And, of course, income difference would make a difference in as far as insurance coverage, which would, preventative health care and stuff like that, and how that would make a difference and how they got a true sampling of all different income levels in the state of Wisconsin.
This is a very good question. Thanks for asking. We are certainly collecting data on income, family income and individual income, and also educational level, occupational history, et cetera, trying to address the issue of socioeconomic status of the individuals and the household. But also, in order to guarantee that we have a broad representation of income levels across in this sample, the way we are selecting these census blocks, these communities, as I alluded to before, is by stratifying. I mean, just guaranteeing. We select them by congressional district area, so we are sure that we have communities from all 8 congressional districts in the state. And also within each of those congressional districts, we use census data to identify communities with different levels of income so that we select an equal representation of communities with lower and with upper income. So one of the main goals of this survey overall is to research the issues of related to health disparities that I think you're alluding to. And income is certainly an important predictor of those health disparities, and we are going to address that very seriously.
No.
I don't mean to interrupt, but you can understand with the state of the health care in the state and everyone talking about socialized medicine and everything, is that is this is this survey going to be somewhat pertinent to people asking for that? Or
I believe so. if we are able to demonstrate that, I think we will. Health access to health care and health insurance is an important determinant of people's health, children and families, etc. It will be one more argument to argue for the need to have universal health care. In my view, that's my personal opinion.
That's personal opinion. Okay. Or at least some change, if not universal, some changes in how we deal with health care in the state.
Exactly.
What do participants receive something for taking part in the survey, by the way, Kathy?
They do. we do have a reimbursement for their time, and that is per person. About $50, and then we also reimburse for any mileage that they incur coming in for the second part of the survey where they come into a survey center. We also reimburse for the babysitter, the child care, if they have to hire someone to sit with their children while they come in for the second portion of the survey.
So the first portion is in the home, and then they come to a medical facility?
They come to a survey center. We have two permanent sites, one in Middleton and one in Milwaukee. And then we have these two very large mobile survey centers. One of them was at the State Fair.
Yeah, I saw one at the State Fair. I was going to say it's a pretty imposing.
We were there for UW-Madison Day, and we had about 300 people come through talking to us about the survey at that time. But these large trucks, they're about 38 feet long. We will take them out and set them up in communities so that we can do the surveys closer to where our block groups, these communities are.
So these are essentially like a physical exam then?
This is a research project. We don't provide medical care. But we do do a series of blood pressure tests. For those people who are willing to donate blood and urine samples, we have the capacity to collect that and to process it in a small lab in the mobile survey centers. We ask people to do a breath test so that we can measure lung capacity. We do a body density test, and we take body measurements, height, weight, waist measurements.
Well, suppose someone comes in, and in the course of all this, we find the doctor or whoever is working with the person finds a medical problem with that individual. What is that individual informed, is there medical care? Is the individual informed of this? Or?
Well, we don't have any physicians. We have basically trained surveyors who
okay.
do these tests.
Okay.
So we have a protocol if someone has, for instance, a very, very high blood pressure,
let's say, yeah.
We would call on local people in the community, the EMTs, or take them over to the hospital saying, this really needs to be addressed right now, or it be measured in a medical facility
okay.
rather than ours. We will take care of that. But most of the things that we're seeing are not in that category. The lab tests that we do, and there are a few of them that are reported back to participants, those are very basic. There's very few of them that would probably be what we would call an alert
yeah.
value. But if we had one of those, we do have their phone numbers, and we will call and say, you need to see your physician.
To see a physician.
Right.
Well, here we are out of time, and I had some other questions to ask you, and I'm sorry, but one of the things I wanted to ask was about findings, but maybe we'll have you back, or we will try and get you back sometime down the road after you've had a little more time out there.
We'll be delighted to come back. Thank you.
Yes. Yeah. We'll have to give you a progress report.
Thank you very much. Dr. Javier Nieto, Survey Director of the Survey of the Health of Wisconsin, chairs Population Health Sciences at the UW Medical School, and Kathy Massoth, Program Manager for the Survey of the Health of Wisconsin. We'll have them back for an update, and we'll find out a little bit more about our health. We didn't get into the details, but we will. Thanks for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Net.